You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
I want to declare Psalm 91 over all of you, so you just prepare your heart and close your eyes. Quiet the children. Children, you know how to soak. You know how to receive from the Lord. I'm going to speak Psalm 91 over you. And then we will go into communion. So if you want to prepare those elements, I guess you can't receive and prepare the elements at the same time. But maybe someone in the household can take care of that while the others receive. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me in my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. You'll never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Whether by day, don't fear a thing. Miss that. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you, even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed. You will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. From here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious help and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Yes, Lord, we pray for every person today. Father, whether they're tuned in today or they're not tuned in today, Father, that you would release these promises of Psalm 91, basically saying the same thing over and over and over again in different ways. You're safe. You're protected. He's for you. He's not against you. He wants to surround you with his arms, protect you personally by his own power. Jesus, we thank you for those promises over and over again in that psalm. Just telling us, You're going to be that strong tower for us where there's safety. We run to it, Proverbs 18:10. We run to it. We run to you as our strong tower of safety, Father. You will protect us from enemies, disease, attacks of the devil. We are your children. You take it seriously when we're in your family. Thank you, God. You take it personally because we're family members to you. You know our beginning from our end. You know all about our life, everything, the ins and outs. And you've covered us over with the shadow of your wing, with your blood, with your power. We're completely protected if we step under the shadow of your wing. If we decide to do it on our own, Father, we're out there wandering in the wilderness without that protection. But if we come under the shadow of your wing, if we declare that you are our refuge, you are our strong tower, you are our fortress, you are our rock, it's a different story entirely, God. I, say it to yourself, I will be under the shadow of your wing, Lord. Let's just come under the shadow of his wing today. It's not a theory. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality. And with all that's happening, it's more and more of a reality than any other time in our lives. It's time. Come under the shadow of his wings. Come into the protection of his strong tower. Come into the fortress, the rock. He's the one. Step into him today. His presence, his power, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his grace, his blood is here for you today. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Just reminded right now, as the Lord is drawing us into deeper intimacy with him, that true intimacy is really experienced on the altar of our hearts before him. And as we stay in songs, Song of Songs and Song of Solomon, chapter 5 today, and we think about what he's telling us about his love and how he's drawing us into that place of non-negotiable love, where we do find rest for our souls and we do find that our lover is for us and not against us, because he loves us, beloved, and we're called into that place of love with him so we can truly experience the fullness and walk in the fullness of Psalm 91 that was just declared over all of us. Just really want to encourage us as we do go into a time of communion to remember that the cross is just the highest place of experience of the love of God, the love of Jesus. And when we have the opportunity to come together under the banner of the truth that he is our beloved and we belong to him. And then the word of God says to us, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. The Lord is calling us into that place that demands a response, because he's looking for us right now to just offer ourselves completely to him because of who he is. And with all this going around us and all the fear that seems to want to permeate all of our beings all around the world, the Lord Jesus says, no, he is peace and he's in perfect peace. So we call forth the peace of the Lord right now to just come, shalom peace, to come, Lord Jesus, upon us, through us, in us, and to become us, because you are our source. You are our victory. We just thank you today for that. And we thank you, Lord, that we can know you and the power of your resurrection. And we can come into that place of closeness where we're able to say, yes, Lord, I understand more. I'm receiving more. I'm saying yes and amen to who you are and what you have for me. Just cry out to him, beloved. Just cry out and say, I'm here. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm hearing that you are the solution, that you are the answer, that you are everything, And I'm just here to believe that and receive that. Mm-hmm. And I offer myself to you for a time of recalibration, a time, a reset time. Mm-hmm. And as we think about this, you know, we are limited in our understanding, but the one who gives us fullness of understanding, he's not. Heard it said recently, I believe by Mike Bickle, saying that the Lord is always working like a chess game in a 10-dimensional supernatural chess game. And he's saying, pull into me, but my beloved, and I will give you who I am to be able to roll and rest and understand who I am, what I'm doing. We want to see you, Lord. We want to know what you're doing. We want to track with you. We want our hearts of dependence on you to be completely saturated with who you are, what you say, so we can follow you and then help others step into that. So this is a day where we say, yes, Lord, so many things have happened. There might be times of uncertainty, and there are, and times where we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know you hold tomorrow, and we can be strong and mighty in you, because you are strong and mighty. And we receive that mightiness from you, oh God, in our bodies, in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions. So as Cynthia leads us in communion, we just encourage all of us who are tethered to your heart, Lord, and we just know you. We just say, yes, Lord, we want to step into a deeper place of revelation of your love. Because your love is the answer and the key. You are love. And we want to step in. You're calling us into a place of not being Laodicean in any way. This is a time that you, Lord, are giving us for this recalibration, for this resetting. This is the time, God, that you're giving to us for that. This is amazing. So we can see with spiritual eyes that God is good. And even in the midst of what we may hear about, we may hear all kinds of reports, but we want to choose to believe his report, because his report says, I am well, I am healed, I am prospering, I am full, I am dependent, I am just completely offering myself to you. So here we are, Lord. We're trusting you with our lives and the lives of our loved ones, and you're trustworthy. You are trustworthy. And we can trust you. We can step in and say, I trust you because you're trustworthy. Way beyond anything that we're hearing on the news or in any other place, you are trustworthy. So let's celebrate with communion today.
Good morning. I wanted to share with you a couple verses that the Lord's put on my heart, which I just love when the Lord just does what he does, which is connect all of us through his Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, we pray that God himself, the God of peace, will make you pure, belonging only to him. We pray that your whole self, your spirit, your soul, your body, will be kept safe and be without wrong when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. The one who calls you will do that for you.
Yes.
You can trust him. And this morning just has been stirring in my heart, and the Lord just reminding me that I am a spirit. You are a spirit. I have a soul. You have a soul. I live in a body. You live in our body. And now is the hour. Now is the moment that we need to live out of our spirit. We need to be connected with our Lord and Savior in holy communion 24/7, nonstop. We should be doing that regardless of what's going on around us. But his call for intimacy is here. It's clear. It's clear that this is the hour where he is saying, trust me. But Lord, how can I trust you when everything is going dark around me? Live from who you are, a spirit. You are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. But when we connect with him, Oh, when we reach out from our spirit to spirit, that's how we are strong. That's how we can receive Psalms 91 and then the entire Word of God. That's when it becomes real. That's when we can live connected.
Yes,
because we're connected by spirit, spirit to spirit. That is why Jesus died on the cross, so that we could have a everlasting, continual communion with His Spirit. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to remind ourselves of that truth, that I am a spirit, that I live in a body and I have a soul, but my soul and my body are not in charge. When I said yes to Jesus, my spirit became alive, your spirit became alive, and that is how we can commune with Him this morning and forever, because that's how good He is. I also wanted to read Psalms this morning, 40. Verses 16 and 17. Let all who seek you repent. Let all those who love your salvation say continuously, "The Lord be magnified." Even though I am afflicted and needy, still the Lord takes thought and is mindful of me. You are my help and my rescuer. Oh my God, do not delay. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad. Let those who love you, your salvation, say continually, "The Lord be magnified." And again this morning, just feeling like, Lord, how can... not our souls, not our emotions, not my thoughts, not my will even, or from my body. It's from my spirit. So Lord, we just thank you this morning that we want to connect with your spirit, oh God. Father, that we silence and we speak that peace that we've been hearing about into our soul, into our emotions, into our thoughts, Lord, oh God, even into our bodies, Lord Jesus, that the rest of heaven, that our spirit, Lord God, would rise up within us, Lord, wanting and knowing that we can trust you, Lord. That's where that becomes a reality, Father, in our spirit. So we just thank you, Lord, that we are your children, Father God. That we are your children who live from our spirit, Lord, who connect with you, Father. So as we just connect this morning with, in communion, just remembering what a holy act that is, that engaging with his spirit, that as we take communion, as we break bread, as we remember the blood that he shed for us, that's where it becomes alive. It becomes alive in our spirit because of who he is, because of the cross, because he died, because he nailed coronavirus to the cross, because he defeated it on the cross even before it was on this earth, because that's how good of a God he is. And he is a loving father that loves us and wants us this morning to be awakened to that reality, that's our reality, that he is a good God that loves us. And we live in his resurrection power. So as Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat have already said this morning, and the worship team singing out, that's how we can be and feel and encounter the Lord in the safety of his wing, because that's the truth. So as we take our elements this morning, I just encourage you to pray with your families. Pray if you're alone, we're here with you, and we just thank you, Father. We just bless these elements before you, Father, that this bread and this drink, Father God, would be offered to you, Lord, that there would be a sanctification, Lord God, and just a connection with you, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for your spirit. And we remember your body, Lord God, and we remember the blood that was shed for us, Lord. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Obviously, we want to be an encouragement to you today. And so if you need anything, please don't hesitate to contact us by email, by text, on the website, by phone call. Be sure, and if you have a need, we want to pray for that need. We want to lift that up to the mighty God. So go ahead and contact us and let us know about that. We thank you also for your giving at this time. It's been amazing how God has taken care of that in this season. We just bless all of you that have been so generous during this time. In June, Pastor Mary Pat and I were in Israel, and I was surprised at how far the distances were that Jesus walked with his disciples. We went to the north, to the Sea of Galilee. We went to the south, to the Dead Sea. We saw quite a bit of the landscape. There's a lot of desert in Israel. And I can't imagine the Middle East, how much desert there is in the Middle East. And so I was thinking this morning about, in the last few days actually, about the children of Israel in the desert. They got there by a miracle, that the Red Sea opened so that they could begin a journey into the desert. They spent their time, much of it, complaining, spent much of their time accusing. They were stiff-necked. They were rebellious. And that's why it took them 40 years. We know that. Of course, none of us are like that. So we won't have that problem in this season. And we'll get all the benefits of the Lord rather than the chastening of the Lord, which they went through. He was trying to determine their heart. And the same with us in this season. If we consider this like a desert, we just need so much from God. So many of us are separated in our own little tent. And if we think of it as we're in the desert, there's so many things that we can't do that we used to do. There's so many things that aren't available to us. We can't take the kids to the playground hardly without someone looking strangely at us. So if we think of this time as a desert, deserts don't have much to offer by themselves. A bush here, a bush there. You're desperate to find water. They were complaining to Moses that they had no water. And so God said, well, Moses, just hit this rock, the water will flow. And they have water. They still complained. They wanted food, of course. And they were used to making their own bread. You realize that for 40 years, they didn't make bread. That was one of the things they did every day in Egypt, every day of their lives. They had made bread. That was a sustenance for them. And now they had no means of making bread. God knew that. He said, I will have manna, much better, enriched so bread, heavenly bread, fall from the sky. They had no real opportunity to have any meat, so they complained about that, and God sent them that. Even though the manna would have taken care of them, they wanted more. They wanted something else. And so he went ahead and said, well, here's some meat, and the birds fell out of the sky for them. Train loads and train loads and train loads. There was a guy years ago that put out a study. How many train cars would be filled up with the sustenance that God brought in over 40 years? It was an incredible amount of train cars. I need to look that up again to see how many it was that he provided for their needs. 40 years, 3 million plus people. Various estimates about how large their group was. And it kept getting larger because every pregnancy was fruitful. There was no barrenness. They went through a period of time, 40 years, no sicknesses, no plagues were able to touch them during that time. Their clothing didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. In fact, walking through the desert, think about this, rocks, sand, heat, all of that, they didn't have feet that swelled up. No blisters on their feet, the Bible says. So I was looking up these passages this morning. I'd love to go through these passages in Exodus and Deuteronomy to tell you about the things that God did for them while they were complaining, while they were accusing, while they were stiff-necked, while they were rebellious. He was providing for them, taking care of them. If we repent in this time for the way we're handling anything in this season, we have the blood of Jesus to cover us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us already given to us as a seal, as a vaccine against anything that could come against us. We have a strong tower completely surrounding us by design in this new covenant. They didn't have that, and yet he still provided for them that all these good things happened for them. No, did I forget? Air conditioning. They had air conditioning of the best kind. We have air conditioning in our homes, and we think, oh, that's really good. Got to have a home with air conditioning these days, or you just don't have what you could have. But there, they had air conditioning with fresh air. They were out in the open. They had fresh air in the cloud by day. Kept them cool, kept them from the sun. And when we were in Israel, that sun gets hot out there in the desert. When we were
Jordan River?
No.
Sea of Galilee?
Sea of Galilee.
No, the other direction. We were at the Dead Sea. Yes, sorry. There were so many good places we went to. We were at the Dead Sea, and you went out there, and we floated. I did, at least, and floated, and it was hard to float on the Dead Sea because of all the salt and everything. I thought, oh, this will be easy. Look at all these people doing this. And I was out there, having a hard time. But I finally got stabilized. But it was hot. That area is just really hot. Desert-like. And here it is. You come down there and float in the Dead Sea. But that's the only thing there. Everything else is rocks, bushes, and heat. And they had air conditioning with fresh air. At night, they had a heater. Fire by night, they had a heater on all the time because of the tower of fire that kept them warm. It gets cold in the desert at night, as you know. And God provided that for them. So let me summarize here. Air conditioning of the best kind, fresh air. And cool. They had warmth and light at night by a pillar of fire. God took care of that. Oh, their clothes didn't wear out. Oh, their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't even get blisters. No sicknesses or disease came upon them during that time. Babies were born. They increased their population because every pregnancy came through to fruition. No barrenness whatsoever. Those that wanted to have children, had children. What else did I mention? Manna and meat came from heaven. Go out and just collect it. It's there for them. It was there for them. So imagine that. That was a very imperfect group of people in the sense that it's just all over the pages of Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, how they failed, they failed, they failed, they failed, they failed. And they didn't have the new covenant. They didn't have the blood of Jesus covering them like today. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living right inside of them. Why would we fear in these times? If we're of a better covenant and God has had such mercy on us, when we complain, the Holy Spirit immediately says, you're complaining. Moses had to cry out to God. He couldn't even appeal to the people. There were so many of them complaining. Appealing to them was not very effective. He had to appeal to God, please do something with these people. But we have Holy Spirit to convict us, to tell us when we've been complaining, when we've been stiff-necked, when we're accusing, when we're not in unity, and we can come into alignment with him. And as Pastor Mary Pat was saying, we have this season now that we can tune into God. Have you ever said to yourself, wow, I just wish I had more time. I'd spend it with God. I wish I had more time at home. You know, I'm always running here and there, and if I just had more time, I'd go into the secret place and I'd be with Him. Are we finding the challenge of that in this season? Our words being put out there? Is that what's really happening with us? We're going to have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to meet with Him in this season. In intimacy. It's always that way. He's the one that draws us. He's the one that gives us the heart to really meet with the Godhead. Spend time and soak and spend time in the Word, listening to Him, offering ourselves to Him for dreams and visions and pictures. This is the season. Let's not let it escape from us. This is our time. In the midst of the world being completely in confusion and opposite reports coming in about coronavirus, opposite reports coming in about what the government is doing to take care of it, local government, state government, and the federal government. They even have different standards that they put out in certain areas. It's in confusion. We're asking for You, Lord, to come in and give them the wisdom to end some of this confusion. And I believe it's happening. You're going to bring wisdom to our leaders. You're going to bring wisdom to the health officials. But we see such confusion, such fear. People are showing it on their faces. People are showing it on their countenances. But we can draw in under the shadow of His wings, as Psalm 91 says in other passages. Look it up. Look up shadow. Look up wings. You'll have many passages, especially in Psalms, that talk about how God wants us to be under His wing, protected, and look to Him as the source of our protection. Are we doing the practical things? Yes, the best we can, but it's almost endless, isn't it? The things that you could do to try to protect yourself. But you will always find protection with Him. Always. Always. Because He doesn't change from being a strong tower to being a weak tower. He doesn't change from being a strong fortress to being a weak fortress because of circumstances, because of this attack coming against our lives. No, He's always a strong tower. He's always a fortress. He's always the rock. We don't have to be on the shifting sand. We can stand right on top of Him and be safe. So I wanted to encourage you with those things today and be reading about the people in the desert. You know, go through Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and find out about what happened there in the desert. It's a key revelation in the Scriptures to go through and see how God took care of them at the worst of times and when they were seemingly in their worst spiritual condition. He still came in and showed Himself strong for them and provided for them and took care of them. And yes, they were disciplined for those things that they did wrong. But we have the amazing opportunity to come before God and have our repentance empowered by the Holy Spirit. I don't just want the amount of repentance that I can drum up or I can create within myself. I want it energized by the Holy Spirit so it's complete and it's honoring and it brings such joy to the Lord with the bowing down of my heart in fullness. That can only come by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I sense that He's empowering that repentance, it can be so complete and so good for the Lord to be hearing it, hearing my cries out of my failures, my flops, my flounders, my sin. And then He just has already cleansed it through the sacrifice of Jesus. And I can just come into more alignment with Him and hear Him more clearly in my spiritual ears and see Him more clearly with my spiritual eyes. Mm-hmm. It's not about He will cut me off. It's about coming in closer, drawing in closer, aligning with heaven. I love that about the Lord's heart. He's brought us to a day with these challenges with much better provision than manna and meat. He's brought in spiritual food for us. He's brought in living water for us, like he told the woman at the well in John 4. Living water. And we are experiencing it at the max in this point of history because of the better covenant. Consider those things today. Be encouraged by those things. And bless you and your household. Favor to your household. Healing and health to your household. Love to your household. Life to your household. Because God is all over this for you. Amen?
Amen.
Whoa, amen?
Amen. Amen.
That was better. Woo!
Well, that's an encouraging word. I'm just reminded from that word that we have a place of rest and that we are believers and we can experience the Sabbath rest of our Jesus. And if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, someone take this? Yeah, this is just something the Lord's putting on my heart right now. Hebrews chapter 4, the Lord is talking about many of the things that Bill was talking about regarding what people in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant actually experienced, the Israelites. And in this season, under a new and better covenant, I just really believe with many around the world that we're entering into a new season of acknowledgement of the blood and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, a new understanding, a new yes in our minds, but also in our hearts, saying, oh, because that's the truth of the Word of God, and He's giving us great revelation in this season of what His blood did, is, and can continue to do in operation, and His dunamis power together. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the believer's rest. It says in verse 2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." And so if we continue on, that's where we don't want to be. What we want to do is understand what he's saying and then say yes and amen for our own hearts. It says in verse 4, "For he had said somewhere concerning the seventh day," which was of creation, "and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them, they failed to enter because of disobedience." It's like, whoa, the Lord's calling us to enter a place of rest because we live in a place of rest spiritually, as Cynthia pointed out, and we can enter into his throne room with thanksgiving, boldly, with confidence in our time of need because we live under the new and better covenant. So we have access because of the blood of Jesus, Lord, because of the power, Lord, of Jesus. That's so exciting. Amen. And today, if we hear his voice and we don't harden our hearts at all, he's going to give us what we're saying, that revelation, that new level of acknowledgement of the power of his blood and his dunamis power that put the stars into the sky, which raised Jesus from the dead. The dunamis power, Holy Spirit, yes, power, is going to be our portion. So this is very exciting. So in verse 15, let me back up with 14. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Yes. For we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16, this is a verse to just hang our hearts on, right? "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." What a promise. This is amazing. We have a perfect high priest, Jesus, who is always interceding for us. Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who's brought us as his kids into righteousness and cloaks us and clothes us with righteousness. We are righteous and standing before our God if we know Him. This is amazing. These are amazing truths. If we look at chapter 9, just jump over to chapter 9 real quickly. The Old and the New Covenant is talked about here, and it talks about us tabernacling with the Lord because He now lives inside of us, and that we become the tabernacle of the Most High God, of our High Priest. We become. He is inside. We are communing with Him, tabernacling with Him. Okay, it says in verse 5, let me read it here. Verse 2, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand, the table, and the sacred bread, that is called the holy place. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies. 4, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle performing the divine worship. And it goes on and on. It's a great place to camp. Chapter 9 in the book of Hebrews. And it's just really amazing. And it ends, the chapter ends this way. And this is for all of us to really consider, Jesus, who are you? What have you done for us? What does it mean to be in covenant with you? I want that. I want to be in covenant with you. I want to know you. And I want to know you more. And I want to track with your blood, track with your power. It says in verse 23, I'm just going to read a few at the end, and then we're going to pray, and maybe the worship team can get back up here, and we're just going to end this time together just praising the Lord and thanking Him for this place to be covered in His blood and for the dunamis power of God to be saturating us, and we can trust and believe that the Lord, our sovereign God, has this under control. He really does. He's that big. So let me just read a few more verses here. I was going to read 23 through 28, okay? Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that was not his own. 3 more verses. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Inasmuch as it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Because one sacrifice, the only sacrifice of Christ, is sufficient. So I really encourage you to spend time this week. There are many, many new verses and things to discover, not new, maybe new to us, but not new to the Lord, in the book of Hebrews. Spend time in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 10, he says, in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, the Lord is all about showing himself strong, and he wants to do that. He already has done that. He's continuing to do that, and he's calling all of us into this place of wholeness and safety and hope. And he's saying, No matter what's going on in your past, no matter what's happening now in your mind, your will, emotions, and body, as Cynthia was saying, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. Take upon me my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, come, offer yourself to me, and I will make you new. I will create in you a clean heart. I will put a right spirit in you. This is the day, beloved, that if we've walked away from the Lord, or we're just dabbling a little bit, wondering what's this all about, or we want more of Him and we know Him, wherever we are, the Lord is here, and He's telling us today, just come and give yourself to me, and turn away from anything that does not exalt my name. For my yoke is easy and burden is light. Give it to me. Repent before me, and I will fill you with me, and I will restore you. I am the restorer of the breach, and I'm using my truth of who I am to impart into other people, to lift up and bring restoration. So today is a day of restoration. Today is a day of restoration of the breach between God and man for us in any way. So just join me as we say, Jesus, I believe. Jesus, you went to the cross for me. You came down from heaven to do that. You came down to give your life for me. You came down because of love. Love came down. Father, you sent your most beloved, your Jesus, to come and become a man and actually come on this earth and become and do for me what I couldn't and am, what I couldn't do for myself. That I would believe that you were sent here, Jesus, to go to the cross. And there's intimacy in that, the greatest joy for set before you. You endured the cross. And so today is the day that we say, yes, Lord, I give you myself. I believe you did this for me. You became sin for me. You absorbed everything wicked and evil. And Father, you turned away from your own Son because you're holy. And you said, oh God, and you said to us, just believe that I have sent you. I have sent my Jesus. And so today, just say yes and amen. Jesus, invite him in right now for full restoration. Jesus, forgive me. I believe you were sent to come to the cross, to die for me, to give me new life, that I would know you, that I would have relationship with you, Father, that I would come into your family, that you'd make me new, that I wouldn't play games, that I would count the cost because you did. And I receive that cost in me, and that you saved that I can have new life, and I can be filled with the power because of your blood, because of your blood, because of your powerful blood that was shed on the cross for me, Lord Jesus, I say yes. As you're hearing this, and if you're agreeing, the Lord himself is coming right to you, and he's coming and touching every part of your life that you need. And he's saying, I will put a right spirit in you. I will make you new and clean and whole. I will give you my life in exchange for yours. So we exchange today, Lord, the great exchange that took place at the cross. We say, that's our portion. And we live in that exchange. And we are raised to new life because of that. If that's you, the Lord has changed you, has given you the greatest miracle. So much more powerful than anything. The coronavirus is nothing for the Lord. He trumps all things. And as Cynthia said, that was already taken care of at the cross. So any sin, any sickness, any disease was taken care of already at the cross. Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, I invite you to take me over. Jesus, I invite you to become and take me over as my Lord, as my King. I give you myself completely. I am surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and I say you are holy God, and I want to go deeper in holiness with you. You said, be ye holy because I'm holy. Let's rely on the Lord, and as we transition here, that we are singing to him and celebrating who he says that he is, and we say yes and amen. Nothing but you, Lord God. Take us deeper in intimacy today. Take us deeper in that place. Take us, Father, you're on the altar of our heart right now. And we say, yes, this is you, God. And you're calling. fullness of joy. In my presence is hope and life and joy forevermore. So let that be your portion today. Let's worship the Lord as we transition. And believe, beloved, that the Lord is here and He reigns supreme.
Oh,
shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive and forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive and forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive and forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. We sing Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
So Lord, we offer ourselves to you as your repentant children
to come before you crying out for your mercy, so that when we're able to rise, you say, arise, my children, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is across the earth and the darkness across the waters. But this is the time that you are showing us, God, how we need to posture ourselves. So we come to you with holy hearts of intimacy, laying down anything that would bring defilement in any way, for that doesn't match up with you, oh Jesus Christ. So we love you, beloved, today, and we ask you to continue this week and for as long as this season, the rest of our lives, to continue to seek the Lord from that perspective as well, from the place of the finished work of the cross, from the place of resurrection, and humbling ourselves to a place of saying, nothing left inside of me, Lord, but your humble heart. That's where he's taking us. And whatever it takes, Lord, whatever's going on in the world, you're bringing your kids into alignment because you have the last word. And you want to pour out your spirit on all flesh. Oh, wow. We're living in exciting times. So as we sign off here, may we encourage you to keep going. Trust Jesus and allow him to have complete and total control of your heart, of your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body, so that we'll be able to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. For the billion soul harvest, beloved, is upon us. And the Lord is saying, I'm preparing all my kids to go bring in the lost bride. Go get them and bring them in. But he's preparing us for that intimacy with him that will enable that to happen. So, Lord, we just celebrate and we say thank you today. And we say, pour out your spirit, Lord. We cry out for your mercy, God, in this place, that we would live repentant lifestyles and we'd be filled up to overflowing with your power because of your amazing blood. We just thank you today, Lord God. Thank you for this time with our beloved friends and family around the world. Be strengthened and encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, tune in, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday night. 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday night. For more, that'll be fire and wind, we call it, a time of saying, here we are, Lord, let's do this again. So bless you guys, we love you. And just go with the love of Jesus, just shed abroad in your heart, because that's how good he is. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.